Dark wings.
Dork words.
The Game of Thrones podcast.
Season 3, episode 5.
Kissed by Fire. No one ate during this episode. Welcome back, everyone. I am your host, Chuck Davis, and with me this week are...
Craig McCallie.
Mike Hergard.
BJ.
So, we're right into the thing that it looked like they were going to do last week, but they left us hanging, which is...
Right, another thing.
The trial by combat. And that was pretty badass.
Pretty awesome.
Thoros, never mind, not Thoros.
No, but it's, Thoros does a bit of praying to begin with.
Okay.
Starts out.
That's right.
Gets the party started.
And then the cutting of the hand and the lighting of the sword.
Party always starts with a prayer, that's what I say.
Michael Buffer must have been unavailable. Let's get ready to rumble!
We have to edit that out or we're going to get sued. That's $100,000, Phil.
From our throng of listeners.
Well, you guys all gave me looks like, who is that? So
Yeah.
You did the right thing.
I needed a little more. Mm-hmm. And
you got it.
I got it.
But now it's cut. Don't worry.
So the Hound didn't look as scared of the fire as I think maybe...
He should have been?
He's a badass dude, and he's all about being dangerous in combat, keeping his... head straight. It was all good. But
not getting killed.
Not thrusting before, or not grimacing before he thrusts.
That's right. Well, if you never stop grimacing, then you're not really telephoning anything.
We're still talking about battles or
thrusting.
Nothing.
No, what are you talking about?
Nothing.
There's this episode and this viewing of this episode has been rampant with homoeroticism.
Well, the gay sex scene helped.
Did it help you?
I think it was the hottest sex scene in the series so far. Why is it? Someone say something.
So, I couldn't stop thinking during the duel, or the trial by combat, Beric is slashing his sword, it's on fire.
Firebrand.
And it was... choppy editing, it seemed like, a little bit.
Yeah, because that shit went out every time he swung it, I bet.
That's all I was thinking, too. It was like, they have to cut away every few seconds because they have to relight the sword. I mean, unless they worked out some kind of kick-ass burning sword technology where it's like, there's some pressurized thing in the pommel that's like pushing a fine gasoline mist out of little holes.
We're going to see this on Halloween a lot, I bet.
Kids, don't try this at home.
No, kids do it. Try it at home and elsewhere.
Get a little lighter fluid, put it on the sword blade.
I've taken all sorts of dangerous stuff into bars.
Take it
on
to
Halloween.
School. Perfect.
And then just have your buddy with the Thoros of Mir costume next to you to bring you back to life when you burn to death.
Yeah, the fighting was compromised a little bit, like you said, but the rending of the shield and the cleave, man. Good cleave.
Yeah.
Good cleave.
Hello, cleave.
Even though the editing was choppy, I think they still conveyed the sort of good narrative of the ebb and flow of the battle and how the Hound, was progressively freaked out by his shield being on fire
standing in the fire at one point.
It was cool. And Arya was like...
covered a lot of ground there.
Yeah, she was moving all over.
She was always in the way, yeah. Somebody's always pushing her out of the way, and then she was like screaming for the Hound's blood.
Did she grab a sword at the end? What did she grab?
A little dagger, I think.
Yeah. She was gonna finish him.
I didn't like the last two episodes we've been talking about, like, I'm like, oh yeah, the awesome Beric Dondarrion Thoros of Mir re-life combo. And I mean, they really glossed over. I think they could have been more theatric and made it take more time instead of him just walking over and going, okay, you're good.
Yeah. It's just kind of cut away, and then she tries to kill him, and then Beric's like, no.
Maybe the scene was like, written for time, but
back alive.
Did you expect a Mr. Miyagi?
He wanted a whole ritual.
If that's, hold on, I'm getting my hands warm.
If that's from The Karate Kid, I haven't seen that movie.
You've only seen the one with Will Smith's kid, right?
I don't know what that means.
He only understood two of those words.
Well, when a Will Smith and a Will Smith's wife love each other very much.
Go on. And there's a capital N that precedes the scene.
A Karate Kid movie is born.
There was lots of capital N this week. All over the place.
Good and bad.
What are you talking about? You don't like Brienne?
There was a lot of stuff happened that we sort of have been speculating about. I mean, I call it speculating, but I mean, it's just that we've been remembering from the books and talking about.
Not Phil.
Well, Phil, so, like, we talked a lot about Beric Dondarrion. It's like, oh, Beric is on the scene finally, probably giving you the impression that he's going to be, like, a major character. So, did that lessen the impact of the cleave somehow in that moment? Were you like, how can this guy be dead already? He's only been around for, like, one episode.
Sure, I had that, you know. I had a wow moment when, boom, he's back on his feet.
Yeah, that's, yeah, good. All right. I was just afraid that all our Beric talk might have tipped
the scales.
Little trivia, this Beric Dondarrion, not the same actor as when he appeared in the first season.
He did appear in the first season?
He did.
That's what I was trying to recall. Yeah. But
and not the same guy.
So because it's not the same
there's
guy.
There's no face recognition there at all.
What was the Ned Stark that we got in the previously on Game of Thrones?
Oh, yeah.
Was that dealing with him?
Yeah. That was dealing with Jorah. Jorah's
right,
being a spy for the Small Council.
But he mentioned one of the six times he's perished was the first one was at the Hand of the Mountain.
Yep.
Was that kind of where, in the area where we saw him first at the tournament? Or
I think it was probably... Wasn't he rebellion roaming? Or something?
No, I guess. I think they were implying that like the whole time, the mountain was kind of ruling the roost at Harrenhal. It like the Lannister forces were out there in the Riverlands, sort of getting like hunting down Beric Dondarrion that whole time, because the Brotherhood without banners was giving them a hard time. So I assume, at least from the book, that was the impression I got, is that the time that the mountain killed him was one of the times they finally put Beric down, and then he pops up again, and that's really what was getting the mountain's goat.
That'll get your goat.
That'll get your mountain goat.
Goats can climb up those mountains. They're sure-footed.
Did you say this is the second time I've been killed by a Clegane?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 First the Gregor, then the Sandor.
One thing that didn't quite ring true for me, he's saying, like, each time I come back, there's less of me. But there didn't really seem to be less of him. He didn't seem...
Except for the eye.
I don't think he means literally.
No, I know, but... He bounced back a little...
He's just a little weaker.
More hale and hearty than...
He gave the Hound a run for his money. He must have been super badass before.
Yeah. So that's cool stuff. And then there's the scene with Arya sort of saying her bedtime list of...
The list is back.
Mm-hmm.
We had the list. The list is too short, it seems. But, I mean, the cast has been shortened for your viewing pleasure.
And some of them are marked off the list.
Well, the mountain wasn't on her list, and I don't know why.
Maybe we didn't hear the whole list.
Yeah, I guess that's true. We sort of came in mid-list.
Cut in at any time. No need to hear the whole list again. We've already heard it.
We join Arya now, mid-murder list.
Only consult us when the list changes going forward.
That was a good combo, though. I mean, where they actually explain that he's been killed, you know, six times, basically. And
It's another...
Arya asks, well, can you bring a guy with no head back to life?
Yeah, it's a sad little heartbreaking Arya moment. A
couple tears, finally.
That, and also her sort of tearful conversation with Gendry about, I could be your family.
Yeah.
Gendry sort of kind of choosing a side or choosing a path for himself, which is cool.
Yep.
Yep.
Gendry looks like he's aged, the actor playing Gendry a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Just pointing that out.
How about the next scene with John, Oral, Mr. Giantsbane, and Ygritte?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
They,
John finally stuck up for himself a little bit. Fucking finally.
But then he did classic liar's tells when he's giving the details.
A thousand?
Look to the side, but I'm trying to look steely and truthful and badass.
I don't know that the wildlings are very good
readers.
Yeah. But well, not FBI.
You don't
deception
think...
experts.
Well, the thing is, though, John's lie is kind of a bad one, because we already know that Orel's spying with his hawk.
Yeah, he's so they don't fly over the wall.
They don't really need John to tell them how many men are at Castle Black.
They're
hawk
just testing
can just
him.
Go
yeah.
take a peek. So his lie about the number of men there is easily proven, and now he's going to have his bowels pulled out through his nose or whatever.
He gave a lot of good information.
I thought he did get his bowels pulled out through his nose a little later.
Hey-o.
Know what I'm talking about.
Hopefully no bowels were involved in that.
What, that's not how you make love?
That's not how we make love.
Oh, wait, you and Phil?
No, well, I meant people.
To each other?
Except Phil, but it did sound like it meant me and Chuck.
Oh.
But I didn't.
Just don't bring me into this threesome.
We better do a Rashomon breakdown on this whole. They kind of... Oh, so two things happen in that scene. Like, one, John tells his bad lie to give us the impression that he's still a crow at heart, right?
Right.
He's not really, truly helping the wildlings. He's just playing along. And then they're asking him which are the three castles that defend the wall are the ones that are manned. And so that's really just kind of for the audience's benefit, because Eastwatch by the Sea has been mentioned, I think. And the Shadow Tower has been mentioned. But in reality, I mean, like, not in reality, but the... from
according to the book.
This isn't a documentary?
According to the book, I mean, so there's 19 castles along the wall. Eastwatch by the Sea is the one that's furthest to the east, and the Shadow Tower is the one that's furthest to the west, like where the mountains come up and there's no more wall. And then Castle Black's more or less in the middle, and then there's a bunch of abandoned ones in between. And the wildlings already knew that. I mean, that's nothing. I mean, it might have been helpful for him to say that, except for the three that you know are manned, the other ones are not. But he instead had to say
the names
of them, as if it was new and useful information, mm-hmm. which it really shouldn't have been.
But. I mean, they're just testing to see if he's lying, right?
Well, no, that's just exposition for the audience, I think.
Well, can it be both?
Well, it's meant to be both, but it just doesn't ring true to me, because I know better.
Mike's kissed by fire right now.
Oh, did we just see? My back is to the TV, so...
Yeah, you missed out.
My back is never to the TV.
Ygritte's.
Bits.
Ygritte's bits.
New restaurant concept.
So this is a great moment, romantic moment from the books, but I think in the books there was quite a bit more.
I thought it was like a huge
more foreplay,
yeah,
and well, more running was involved before. I thought it was like they didn't just run into like a cave right away and like, ooh, here we are. The first room was perfect. They like deep way down in the.
A little more secluded.
Bowels of the earth, down with the...
Oh, there were bowels involved.
Again with the... Yeah.
Hey. It's a theme. Theme for the night.
All it takes is one mention of, you like this guy because you want him to be inside you, and she's horny all of a sudden. Yeah, I do, actually. You know?
What's in this cave? Come down here and help me.
Maybe. Pull my pigtails. Chase me.
But she got a little too... Just for that last second, she got a little too sappy for my taste for her character. I mean, I know that's what happened, but...
But I don't think they earned it on the show. Like, they didn't have a long enough relationship leading up to that. It's kind of like that Shay and Tyrion scene from a few episodes back, where it's like, oh my god, they're really in love with each other, but they didn't ever show us anything that really sold it.
So many things probably just cut for time. You don't need to explain falling in love to an audience. They get it.
Love takes a while for Chuck. It takes a lot to develop.
That's right.
He needs proof.
The Cunnilingus.
Apparently never before heard of North of the Wall. Ever. Now,
does it, tell me if this rings a bell. There is a Man of the Night's Watch whose name escapes me, but he had been like a bed slave or something.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
He had been a...
Not sure what that job
male
entails.
Prostitute. I can't remember
his name. I know who you mean.
But does John say something to Egret about, like, my buddy told me to do this or something?
No, he said he just wanted to kiss her there. That's all.
No, on the show, I know, but I'm wondering if...
I don't remember.
Maybe. I mean, that's what I was expecting him to say. Oh, he's going to mention his buddy that told him how to that.
Does he even know the alphabet? Does he know how to read?
Oh, man. That means that the Onion Knight's wife is disappointed.
But she doesn't know about it probably either. So
this has been Cunnilingus Minute with the podcast. Tune in next week.
I want to be in this cave forever. God, they all say that.
You're supposed to be sassy.
They all say that to you, or do you keep them down there?
Every girl has said that
every
to
girl
me
you've ever met
in a cave.
I like how, speaking of continuing on the line of suddenly expert lovers, Podrick Payne, Jon Snow, add him to the mix of people who have never done anything to anyone but suddenly are the most awesome lover ever to walk the face of the Westeros.
I think HBO has done some demographic research and they realize that 60% of their viewers are virgins. So they're appealing to that demographic.
Or they just like to see.
Sex. Or hear about teenage dudes that...
Well, it's just not good TV if you go the other way and say, you know, it was all right. We have some things to work on.
Let's leave this cave forever.
Let's never speak of this or come back.
Tormund Giantsbane is just no fun.
No.
They've amalgamated his character with a dickhead who doesn't have a boisterous laugh or a friendly manner.
He was kind of Gimli-esque in the book. Just all like...
He was a
braggarty and funny, and maybe they thought it might make him too endearing. I think we said that last time, you know. Mance Rayder is more fun than that guy is.
Mm.
How about the delivery? Special delivery.
All tied up for you.
So I got kind of interested when Locke delivered Jaime and Brienne to Roose Bolton. Roose. And so they're entering Harrenhal, and it feels like the same dark, familiar, like unpleasant, you know, bunch of bad guys around. But it's right. Roose Bolton, a Northman, and all of his men. The troops that are returning, we know they're bad guys because they were chopping people's hands off and
trying to rape,
like, and yeah, just not a fun bunch. But Roose Bolton seemed disapproving of them. So
I thought there was going to be I thought Locke was going to get
was that
get
a stab, stabbing motion?
I was going to get a stabby
by Roose.
Yes,
just to
hand for a hand.
And he's not pleased in the books when they bring him back with no hand.
That's right. They didn't go into that enough. Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, he was like, "Ooh, gross! You cut his hand off."
They were like, "Oh, he's a worthless loser now," which I think is more. The book, they're like, ooh.
He didn't want his
prize. You really
fucked
up.
But yeah, I think that's going to be interesting. I mean, he's definitely caring for his prizes.
For his package.
Care package.
They release Brienne, of course.
Immediately.
Yeah. Well, she's not... The only reason I think they had her tied up on the way back is because they knew she was trouble. And he's just like, all right, sorry about all that.
I wouldn't think that's how it would go down in those times.
Good point. Agreed. She still was treasonous, maybe?
Well, it's a good thing loyal, trustworthy, dependable, honorable Roose Bolton's in charge at Harrenhal.
A lot of moody-ass shots of Jamie this episode.
Jamie and his cruddy stump.
Oh.
Cut those nerve endings off.
That was a good scene. I mean, pretty accurate. He's like, don't you dare cut my fucking rest of my arm off.
And don't sedate me. I want my wits.
I don't need the rest of my right hand to kill you. I'll choke you out with my left.
I'll beat you with my bloody stump.
Yeah.
The bloody stumpers.
Qyburn speaks. Qyburn is a guy now on this show with an interesting backstory. The maester who had his chain stricken from him.
For doing genetic experiments, I can only assume.
They were too bold, whatever they were. Yep.
As he's reaching for the implement.
That's what you want your doctor to tell you.
That's why Craig never goes, right?
I don't need a doctor.
Okay, good.
Well, you go when something's wrong.
Yeah.
Or you don't.
you go when you break your ankle.
Yeah.
Or you don't.
It'll heal.
You go to the bar.
You go when your shoulder's fucked up.
Except you don't.
It'll be fine.
No.
And then continue on the sympathy Jamie card with the bathhouse scene.
Yeah.
He finally tells his...
He's been waiting to tell somebody. The tale. You can tell. It's dragging the tears right out of him.
Well, he fainted after he told it, basically.
Yeah.
Kingslayer! It's Jamie! Not Kingslayer! Pass out.
It did seem a little rude for her to call him that immediately after that he moment. Told that story, yeah. And now I understand why you're a filthy Kingslayer.
Well, if she called, said, Jamie needs help, everyone would be like, what the fuck?
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. It was not for his benefit.
She loses her inhibitions when she gets mad, too, I think.
She was just cowering in a corner.
She went from the fetal position to full...
full frontal.
Full frontal.
To full... Well, for him, not for us.
No.
Disappointed?
Well,
what?
What? Brianne?
Mike was hoping for frontal. A different point of view.
Yeah, she remember when she was cowering in the corner?
Yeah, but we didn't see a full frontal view.
No, but he did.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought that we were going to get a full frontal of Jamie there for a second.
Yeah. So did I.
He was dropping those breeches.
I think I saw a smidge of taint.
I think we saw a little something more than that.
So we slow-mo it?
Hanging taint.
His face was so grungy. I was wondering why he wasn't washing it while he was in the tub.
I mean, he wasn't even.
You're not going to get clean just sitting there.
Let's get to bathing.
No, that's how. I mean, you just sit in the bathtub long enough, and the dirt comes off you, right?
Craig maybe likes baths
for a month,
Craig, right?
Why don't you tell us how you do it?
Yeah, that's exactly how a bath works. You just get in there and
marinate in your own brand.
Let's talk about something else. I'm clean, everyone. I'm a clean person.
No one ate during this episode. Move that to the beginning with an edit. Perfect.
There's some King's Landing schemings going on this week.
Some schemes. Yeah.
First we get the
threats.
Not the biggest of fingers is around again.
Yeah.
I guess.
Still.
Oh, yeah.
But so long as he's been in one place in any time for a while.
He had quite a bit of action this week.
Yeah, he was playing all the angles.
Yeah.
Well, they move the intrigue along at a rapid fire clip. It's like Marjorie and Sansa. Are you going to marry Loras? Yes. Then Loras meet sexy steward. Hey, you want to go fuck? Yes.
Hey, Squire.
Then Squire back to Littlefinger. Hey, looks like he's going to marry Sansa. Littlefinger to Sansa. Hey, do you still want to escape? You don't want to escape anymore.
She said when the seed was planted, it would grow quickly. Quickly it did.
Go on.
Yes.
Wait, who said the thing about the seed?
Marjorie. because Sansa was like, when will I get to marry the gay man?
Oh, yeah, yeah. She was 100% ready. Like, I want to be Lady Loras.
Mm-hmm.
That grew fast.
Call him Lady Loras.
then Littlefinger doesn't reveal anything to Sansa, no. But he figures that he confirms
that she doesn't want to leave.
Why doesn't she want to escape anymore? She's obviously going to do this other thing. And then we don't see the scene where Littlefinger somehow conveys that information to Cersei, mm-hmm. nor do we see the scene where Cersei conveys that information to Tywin, but we do immediately see Tywin laying it down for Tyrion, and smug Cersei is put in her place quickly.
Unsmugged.
But then a twist, yes, put in her place.
Hey, I mean, she knows he's gay. Why she won't have to, I mean, marry him?
Well, she just doesn't.
Don't do anything.
It'd be hard to. She doesn't want to marry him.
She doesn't want to marry anyone. At
this point,
Not again.
Is she interested in Jaime still at this point at all, or is she completely over it?
She's loving her independence, and she loves being the queen regent more than she ever loved being queen to
Robert.
To King Robert, right.
She had no power.
Exactly.
So would she, if she married Loras, would she go to Highgarden? Is that what they said?
She would not live in the Red Keep anymore.
Yeah.
She would be the lady of... Well, no, she wouldn't, because Lord Tyrell still rules in Highgarden. She'd probably...
She'd be down the post.
She'd just be out, you know, attending socialite events and such.
Hey, that's not bad.
God damn, if I could do that...
She'd be the Paris Hilton of Westeros.
Bartender, I'll have a Highgarden.
And a Highgarden glass?
No fruit.
I read on something on the internet that the actress who plays Cersei, what's her name? Lena
Headley.
Heady. Heady. They said she's completely flat fucking broke in real life. Like, she's penniless.
Yikes.
Huh. Yeah, she had a divorce from so-and-so and kids and for whatever reason... didn't get any money or something, and she's just completely penniless. Which probably a lot of dudes, common dudes out there, are probably like, hey, she's looking for a guy.
Fuck a penniless.
She can be my queen.
Yeah, exactly.
Regent.
You know how people are weird.
You think
I do?
She's got to be. Well, she's surely being on this show is helping her recover from that.
Yeah, totally. But I mean, she said. Because they, you know, her divorce proceeding was common, whatever becomes common record, public record.
Okay.
And in it, she says, she's like, I have $5 in my bank account. She probably said £5.
So she's available?
€5.
Yeah, and it was, yeah, she's just divorced and completely broke. Don't you think a million guys are probably like, oh.
She's so hot.
She's pretty good.
Man, she was smoking in 300.
I never saw that movie.
See it.
Anyone listening just went,
there's a capital N for you in that one.
Mm.
It sounds like she's going to have her real life Odyssey scene.
Is Odyssey a movie? I haven't seen it.
It's by Homer Simpson.
So the Olenna Tyrion scene.
Pretty.
Just some more Olenna old.
Be an old crotchety bitch.
It was really...
Sorry.
more wits.
Yeah. More wits. But she rattles off the full extent of how much Highgarden is basically propping up the Empire at this point, right?
Tyrion's like, ooh.
So it's cool that she shows her shrewdness by rattling off all the stats.
It's like, we're giving you all this shit.
She still knows everything. She's still overseeing her... Everything's visible.
Right.
We've given you all this shit, but we'll still pay for 50% of the wedding.
Yeah.
And he was just... like, oh, yes. Thank you.
He got off easy.
Yeah, Tyrion, he kind of got ran over this whole episode, I guess.
Well, yeah, and her biting comment about...
I thought you were interesting.
He does get Sansa Stark, like that. Though, so...
Yeah, but he doesn't want her.
In contemplating that notion, he decided to eat a fig just like she did.
I'm going to move these bowels.
Oh,
he ate
God damn it.
He ate a fig out of frustration, which I don't necessarily get, but okay.
Was it a fig Newton?
I thought he was admiring her wit and wanted to do exactly as she did.
Give me the woody fruit.
Where'd you go, Volantis?
Sick burn.
How'd you like
me now?
Jorah and Barristan.
Their combo?
Recounting tales of being knights in happier days in Westeros. They're like, oh, remember Thoros and that flaming sword of his?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
Those days.
Just two old guys talking about, you know, the battle.
They're high moments.
They were chummy at first, and then Ser Barristan's like, but seriously, when we get back there, you gotta fuck off, because you're gonna ruin everything.
Ooh. And he's like, ooh, I take my orders from the queen,
didn't like
old
that
man.
Very much.
Jorah was putting the feelers out there. He's like, you didn't hear anything bad about me when you were back in King's Landing, did you? All right,
are they talking about me? Did they talk about me? Did they say something about
just
me?
From your dad? Well,
I mean, you were on the small council, right?
Ooh, nope.
You weren't.
No.
Well, you know, I kind of killed the king's friends. You know, he really don't like me.
Well, Barristan mentions serving the Mad King and not liking it, and Jaime's tale of serving the Mad King and really not liking it. That's kind of cool.
Bunch of pyromancers didn't like it. Bunch of citizens didn't like it. Nobody liked it.
Did they ever say anything to Ned back in season one before, you know, when Ned still had his head? About how his brother and father were murdered by the Mad King with, burned alive with wildfire for treason, for supposed treason. Did that ever come up?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
It was.
There's been no mention of Ned Stark's brothers at all, really, has there? Or his sister?
What was the...
Probably of his brother, what? Brandon?
I think they said Ned's brother was originally supposed to marry Catelyn in the day.
Right. That was the only... Yeah, that's right.
And then
I think there was mention of that. I think Catelyn talked about it.
Yeah.
Well, at some point. I was going to marry his brother, and then
briefly,
instead of him coming back after...
But then it's like, you know, Ned grew on me, basically, type conversation.
Yeah.
That scene, Bean. He grows on you.
That he does.
Not on Jaime, though.
Yeah.
Jaime had no love for Ned.
Yeah. One of the only people that we've talked to that didn't at least say he was awesome.
But in the context of his tale, it's understandable.
He got judged.
Still
quick to judge.
Not good enough reason to push his son to his death or nigh death.
I don't know if that was... He didn't seem like he wasn't passionately motivated to that. He was just trying to keep him and Cersei a secret, I think, when that happened. Seemed like.
I know. But it speaks ill of his character that was the solution that he came up with.
That's true.
Spur of the moment.
Speaking of ill characters, let's talk about the vengeance of Lord Karstark.
Ooh.
That was a pretty serious scene.
Now I know why they had that sort of cute moment with the two Lannister hostages with, what's her bucket?
Una Chaplin.
Una?
Tylisa.
Yeah.
Does anyone still regard her or like as the Queen of the North or whatever? Because she's...
I think there's only about...
She doesn't even know
where... Nine men left.
She doesn't even know where Winterfell is.
And she still doesn't, because Rob was about to point to it, and then he had a
Dr. House moment.
Inspiration.
Do Rob's bannermen refer to her as... What do you call a lady? My lady, and what do you call the queen? My queen, I guess?
No, your grace.
Your grace, yeah.
She's your grace.
I haven't...
Well,
I
she's not my grace.
She's your grace.
Hmm.
Even you.
Arguable.
Fight.
Phil's not a Northman.
The Great John is about the only notable bannerman left. Well, at Roose. Let's not forget about Roose.
There's some people. Some lesser houses, maybe.
Yeah, there are others. But the Karstarks, according to Rob, represented half of his men. Half of his strength.
Karstark. Cars and credit to go. Cars and credit to go.
What is it really?
It's Car Star.
Okay. I haven't seen it. So, yeah. Lord Karstark's passions get the better of him, or I guess he felt justified to the end.
I don't think this vengeance has been building.
Yeah.
So I didn't think Rob was gonna go through with it, and from the show, I thought, oh, everyone else was like, ooh.
Oh, they're. I mean, come on.
Keep him as a hostage.
Everyone's saying he's too wussy.
Yeah, I mean, did he kind of? It seemed like he kind of did it, like in the show, to just like spite.
I have to prove that I'm a worthy king.
Karstark had some great points that didn't sit well with Rob, but he hit Rob's mom should have to answer for her crimes. Just detaining her while they are on the road is not enough.
Karstark basically dared him to do it.
That's true.
It was more important for Karstark to make Rob feel foolish for having let, I don't know, for not killing his own mother? I mean, I don't know what he expected to have happen. I guess he's just a old dickhead.
It didn't help Rob's character, I guess, overall, that the one guy who was just like, they made me do this, like, he didn't listen to anything. He's just like, nope, hang him.
Hang him last. Make him watch.
Yeah.
He likes it.
He's just recklessly dispenses justice a little bit, and sometimes when he should, he doesn't.
I don't know. I think he's pretty much...
He's young.
Justified in everything, all of his decision-making. And it was a nice parallel back to the pilot episode where Ned had to behead that one Night's Watchman who went AWOL. And that was an important lesson that he wanted his sons to learn. They all had to be there to watch.
I'm surprised they didn't...
Rob gets it off with one chop.
Yep. I'm surprised they didn't reference that. Have Rob say, you know, give me the sword. I do this myself. This is my burden or whatever. You could see the burden after, but...
The man who hands down the sentence carries it out.
That's right. And I'm glad that they gave the viewers credit to connect those dots on their
own. I was expecting to see a better beheading than that, to be honest. It's just like, ooh, okay.
Mm. Morbid.
Oh, hey.
I like how he dropped the sword like, boom! Somebody else get it. No. I'm done with this.
This rap battle's over.
It hasn't begun yet.
So Rob hatches a plan.
A plot.
He's like, well, which doesn't seem brilliant exactly. It's like, well, why? Oh, yeah, you Casterly Rock is not...
Which was the lady that I was supposed to marry's...
Yeah, was that supposed to be like a... Everyone goes, oh, good. Or they should go, what, that's not going to work.
Well, I think, maybe some of us might need a reminder that...
This guy that I fucked over is going to get me, like... All these guys, right?
Then they pause for a second conversation. He says, we have to get divorced. Listen, this was a rush. This was a Vegas wedding.
I
like you.
Shouldn't he try?
Look at the problems in the war room. You don't even understand the war room.
I think in this scenario, maybe Talisa might have been... A little walking around looking over her shoulder a bit.
She was giving him sound counsel about...
No, I mean, why wouldn't she be a target for some people? If people truly think that she's...
Holding the cause back.
Holding the cause back, lost the war for them.
Because everybody else knows, like, ooh, you shouldn't have... You can't be promised to marry a lady and then go back and marry another lady.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. I mean, it's common courtesy in Westeros.
We do it all the time.
Everyone who's anyone knows that.
This is Westeros, Craig.
I know.
Not America.
That's kind of a classic rom-com plot point, though, isn't it? You know, Meg Ryan is engaged to some fastidious...
But then, she meets...
Douche, but then...
Some guy in a coffee shop, and...
That's right. And then she has to break it off with the guy who lets her... He understands. Or, you know, maybe they set it up so he had a meet cute with some other chick who...
Yeah.
Every movie ever with the word wedding in the title. It's not the wedding you think's going to happen.
Like The Wedding Singer, like that movie.
I haven't seen it. Them.
Have you seen... Yeah.
Karate Kid 3, The Wedding.
I think Rob's just assuming that Lord Walder is just going to understand, like it's a...
He really is.
But no, true love.
That grin he gets on his face, like, oh, this saves everything.
No, you don't understand. I mean, See, I met this chick from Volantis, and
she's way hotter than your daughter. So,
yeah, who I've never met, but
you know, chicks from Volantis. Am I right, Mr. Frey, Lord Frey?
Anyway, I'll just be taking your army and whatever cash you have. Well, maybe we'll see a little more of Talisa. Well, I'm sure they'll have some discussion about. I wonder what will happen when we get to the twins next episode or shortly thereafter. What else
in life?
Oh, we get a lot of old Stannis goes to see his wife.
Oh, yes.
In her weird creepy laboratory of stillborn babies.
Jeez.
Hedrick. Well, so I don't know what the other two
in this, were. A little difference, departure from the book.
Quite a few.
Hedrick, who was a bastard, right?
He's alive, right?
Hedrick Storm.
Right.
Born.
Was one of Robert's bastards who was being protected by the Castellan of Storm's End. And when Stannis killed Renly, and he took the boy into his charge, and that boy, that has just never been a character on the show.
But I'm just surprised they recycled his name in this and made him.
Well, they sort of mix and matched a lot of little pieces. Like the song that, what's Stannis' daughter's name? Selyse?
Grayscale.
That's her affliction.
Oh. Selyse, sure.
The creepy song she sings is supposed to be sung by her...
Patchface,
her motley fool.
Oh, yeah.
Who she goes everywhere with and who is just creepy and drives everyone crazy.
I think if they at any point try to write his character into this, I bet after a couple weeks people are just like, nah, let's just not. He sucks.
It's too offensive.
He's too weird. He's too out of place.
I mean, I think he's basically, he's like a disabled, weird looking
jester. Whoa. Patchface is a strange. Judging.
Hey, you're lucky I said disabled, man. I could have gone worse.
Keep drinking that wine.
I will.
Patchface was he a fool before he was drowned and then resuscitated? Oh. Or did he just become a fool after he was resuscitated?
I can't remember. I think after, maybe.
I think after.
Yeah.
He was just somebody, he was normal and then he drowned, and when he came back to life, he is sort of this weird, demented, haunted by the ocean and sort of grim prophecies.
Ho, ho, ho!
He's like,
is that what he always said?
I don't know. Yeah. That was a bizarre...
I'm thinking of Santa.
...concept.
Instead of my lap.
Did they have CPR techniques in classes back then?
We haven't seen them applied yet on the show.
We don't know what time period this takes place in. It could be the future. Might not be back then.
My mind just blew. Couldn't hear it, but...
Long, long ago in a galaxy far, far away, Game of Thrones.
We meet Stannis' wife as well. Lady...
They should have made her less... They should have made her... She's not terrible looking. She's not great, but she's not hideous.
She's severe enough.
Yeah.
And intense and creepy enough. I think they did a pretty good job with her casting-wise.
Fine.
But and so, I mean, the most important thing you need to know about her is that she is a fanatic about the Lord of Light.
Her zealot mind rot.
To the point where she's like, hey, I was so excited when you...
Because she's the one who brought Melisandre over. So,
but, yeah, the babies in the jars is like...
Oh, man, that was...
That's like driving that weird point home with a hammer.
A baby in a jar.
It worked. It had the desired, I think, effect, but...
I mean, sure, she feels bad that she couldn't give Stannis sons, but nobody's going to feel that bad.
Do you want to keep three reminders?
That's there's a lot of stuff like that in real world zealotry, though, you know.
Does the midwife even offer that choice up when they go to or the doctor, you know, like
10,000 for a full birth? 7,000 for a stillborn and a two.
Jeez, I mean, how does this happen?
Oof. Well, you wonder why you haven't seen her before. And that, I guess maybe that's almost like justifying it after the fact. How do we explain Stannis' wife hasn't been around?
They never invite me to their home.
That shot where they tracked around her, too, was just perfect for the for that reveal. I mean, I think everyone in the room, all five of us, were like,
Yeah.
And they also did a sneaky reveal on the grayscale face of the daughter.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
I was like, she's just over there singing. I was like, wait, are they going to make her just like normal? And then it's like, nope.
They did.
All right. I was like, good.
They did great with her. Mm-hmm. She's sweet and she's sad.
Yep, good cast.
She likes the Onion Knight.
Well, yeah, the whole thing about her relationship with...
Davos.
Now, wasn't it... Davos does learn to read in the books.
He
but
does.
He has a different Somebody teacher. Else.
Does a maester teach him?
Yeah. Maester Cressen, who was Stannis' maester before Melisandre came along. And he tried to poison her. Did that happen on the show at all? I think it did.
The poisoning? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. So all that Stannis learning, or Davos learning to read business. No.
That wasn't from him.
No. Never mind. I take it all back. It's the young maester who replaces Cressen, who is a teacher to Selyse, or whatever the daughter's name is. And Edric Storm. Davos starts sitting in on those lessons or something, doesn't he?
Because there's conversations in the book between like the daughter and Edric Storm where they're talking from
It's like, all right, your reading lesson is done. It's time for Davos's reading lesson.
For the rest of the day, because he can't read.
Sorry, a little bit to anyone who hasn't read the books who's listening to this. We're kind of really talking a lot about differences, that kind of thing. But that's part of it.
Well, yeah, I mean, but these are the differences that aren't going to happen on the show, maybe are irrelevant.
I just, Phil's probably pretty bored right now. Like, oh, great, differences from the book.
No, he's got a little backstory.
Go to my own happy place and just tune everything out a lot of times anyways. So.
We know you tune it out. We've been saying your name for the last 3 minutes.
Phil.
I don't respond to chance like some people.
So, Phil, you feel like it's okay that Stannis had sex with Melisandre now, right?
Oh, yeah. Morality just cleared.
Mm-hmm. You might have felt that was a smudge on his character.
If the gods say it's okay.
He thought it was a smudge.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, you know who really thought it was inappropriate? Him.
Listen, I'm trying to confess here.
Which kind of shows that, I mean, Stannis tries to...
He had a real grimace, man. He had, like
you know,
a,
follows a
couple times this episode, he's like...
Oh, the Onion Knight's kind of
man. His character has just changed 180 degrees.
He's just so wishy-washy.
He has no confidence still.
Yeah,
yeah. He hasn't caught a break.
Did you feel like he was? I mean, he's always sort of, I don't know, just easily manipulated by Melisandre and stuff. But in her absence, is he having doubts about anything or?
I think he gets easily manipulated by his daughter, who's like, just talks about the Onion Knight. He's kind of like...
Not manipulated.
Well, I think he feels... I don't think he's completely sure of his...
I don't think he would have visited
traitor decision.
He wouldn't have visited them if Melisandre was still around, right? I mean, he's kind of bored and lonely, dejected, walking around the castle and like, well, I'll go see the kid.
Kicking rocks.
What did you say, Phil, after he was like... You know, I wouldn't, you know, the Onion Knight's a traitor. Best not to think about him. You won't be seeing him again or something. And then he's out of there. He goes to all this trouble.
It's a nice visit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a, hey, daughter. And then.
Good visit. Good, nice talk.
Davos made me the ship. Don't show it. Don't tell mom. All right.
Listen, I got to go.
Yeah.
Don't talk to Davos.
I just wanted to stop in and let you know that your only friend in the world is a traitor and he's going to die in prison. So, daddy has to work.
At least you have this ship to remind you about him. He's out in the dungeon.
I'm surprised he didn't crush the ship under the foot of his boot.
He might as well have.
You guys are right. They should have made Brienne's butt more manly.
Hmm?
Oh, nothing. I'm just watching what's on the screen.
Who had the best butt in this episode that we saw?
Who was the guy with Loras?
I don't know his name. He didn't
have a name. He did have a name.
So that's good sexual tension between Brienne and Jaime, right?
Oh, yeah. She looked away and covered up and all that. And
yeah.
And then she...
It's a neat thing.
Full rushed him.
But then when she stood up, he's broken. I mean, I think before he would have stared right at her to hopefully make her more uncomfortable, and in this she stood up and he just looked away immediately.
What did he say that pissed her off?
Something about Renly.
Oh, and then he immediately apologized.
Yeah, and she's like, "Don't mock me." He's like, "I'm really sorry, actually, for once.
Let me tell you what a good guy I am.
I killed the Mad King because he was mad. He was going to basically kill everyone in the city with his wildfire."
Yeah, I think the Mad King is probably the worst character in the series, and he's only described. But if you hear like all the stuff that anyone ever said about it, he was the worst tyrant ever.
Mm-hmm. Do you think those wildfire caches are still in all those deposits in King's Landing?
They used them, right? I think they found them for the burning of the...
Well, they were Blackwater Bay. They created a lot of those pots from scratch, though, I think, because the dragon shit was flowing.
Well, I mean, I think the pyromancers had a full inventory
from the Mad
King. Why don't you ask him?
He's dead.
If those caches are still there.
Jaime Lannister killed them.
I mean, the current pyromancer. Oh. I'm sure they hand off the notes when a new person's appointed.
Recipes.
So Daenerys meets Grey Worm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That
was... This one is named Grey Worm.
And there's the whole explanation for why he has such a gross name.
So I was thinking during that scene that doesn't it seem like the introduction of anything but robotic, fanatical following? You know, you start talking to a person about feelings, start making them feel a way, they're going to get soft. They're going to not be as good a warriors. They're going to start making choices and decisions. What are they going to do next? Fall in love with people and
are you saying
start families? The Unsullied.
Well, are you saying they're now sullied?
I'm saying
they I think got Daenerys sullied. Already was falling in love with a little Grey Worm.
Nah. They got sullied with emotion. Now
she was getting emotional.
That's
she
a ruiner.
Like, oh.
Well,
she is emotional.
Taken aback by the impact of her awesomeness upon the soldiers.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised he would even emote that much after, what is he, 20 years of just shutting it off. Just
he looked young.
Yeah.
Didn't tell you that much.
So, yeah, my thought, I mean, it was supposed to be an emotional, powerful scene where she gets just reward for her good, you know, treatment of people, as is her wont. But I was just thinking, oh, man, these guys are not going to be as good on the battlefield now.
They did get a good explanation of the kind of, well, I wouldn't say good explanation of the naming deal where it's like...
Vermin.
Well, and it's like you get renamed some name after, you know...
After you're cut.
Yeah.
And it's a name to remind you that you're low station.
But it's not like the book where they change names every day, basically. They basically don't really have a name.
Yeah. No identity.
They drew lots to just say, this is your code name for the day.
Yep.
You hear that, you hayseeds? We're using code names. All right.
Craig's not
seen it. I haven't seen it.
I know you haven't.
It's in The Wedding Singer. It's not.
So...
The scene just changed to this, so we already talked about this.
Yeah.
Did we hit all the set pieces?
I want to say we did. You want to hit fast forward on that thing? And
hitting fast forward.
Engage.
We didn't talk about our esteemed podcast leader's birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Should we do a happy birthday rendition?
We could try it.
I refuse to.
Okay.
Craig and I will try it.
If in old Valyrian, you want to take?
Doesn't ask for much, does he?
You take
ladies
the lead.
And gentlemen, the high part. The hold steady. I can't do the Foley work like Craig. I'm walking up the stairs.
Thanks, man. Yeah, so happy birthday.
Thanks.
We won't sing.
You were in high spirits on Saturday.
Your present is you don't have to edit this episode.
Yep, I got this one.
I appreciate that.
If we don't say something about Game of Thrones now, I'm just going to cut the whole last like minute out of this podcast.
The whole birthday?
Yeah.
Well, I said the thing about singing in an old Valyrian.
Good enough.
Got it. Keep it.
Count it.
Count it.
All right, everybody. Next time we podcast, I'll be a year older and a year wiser.
A year closer to death.
And with that...